Topic 3, making the Act and the Code work better for tangata whai kaha, disabled people. Kaupapa 3. Kia whai hua te ture me te tikanga mō tika ki ngā hiahia mō ngā tangata whai kaha. In this section, we set out and ask questions about 1. Issues in relation to making the Act and the Code work better for tangata whai kaha, disabled people, and the case for change, and 2. Suggestions for the Act and the Code to address those issues. Issues. We are focusing on making the Act and the Code work better for tangata whai kaha, disabled people, to reflect modern understandings of disability rights. Since the Act and the Code were first developed nearly 30 years ago, there have been shifts in understanding of the rights of tangata whai kaha, disabled people, and changes to supports and services, including in relation to mental health and addiction. 1. The New Zealand government ratified the CRPD. 2. Addiction was recognised as a health issue, National Drug Policy 2015 to 2020. 3. The New Zealand Disability Strategy 2016 to 2026, Enabling Good Lives, and the Provisional Health of Disabled People Strategy were published. These guide positive changes for disabled people, families, communities, and governance structures. 4. Whai kaha, Ministry of Disabled People, was established and has taken over responsibility for government-funded disability services. 5. The Law Commission is reviewing adult decision-making capacity law. And 6. The Ministry of Health is looking to repeal and replace the Mental Health Compulsory Assessment and Treatment Act of 1992. Over 25% of the complaints received by HDC are about care related to tangata whai kaha, disabled people. We are hearing from tangata whai kaha, disabled people, that 1. The language relating to disability in the Act and the Code is outdated. 2. The promotion of the Code and HDC's complaints processes are not always accessible. 3. Some code rights could be clarified and strengthened, particularly in relation to accessibility and support to make informed choices and provide informed consent. And 4. The Act could also provide for greater consideration of disability issues in HDC functions. We are also seeking feedback on the initial findings of a review we undertook in 2019. This review looked at whether there are circumstances where adults who are unable to give consent should be able to participate in research, and if so, what safeguards should be in place. While changes to the code could open opportunities for health and disability service advancements, they must not lessen rights held by tangata whai kaha, disabled people, and others unable to consent. We believe that making the Act and the Code work better for tangata whai kaha, disabled people, would support the government to uphold its commitments under the CRPD and contribute to 1. Greater knowledge and awareness by tangata whai kaha, disabled people, of their rights under the Code. 2. Greater understanding and protection of rights to accessibility and supported decision-making in the Code. 3. An equitable space for tangata whai kaha, disabled people's voices, to raise concerns and make complaints. And 4. More equitable outcomes for tangata whai kaha, disabled people, accessing health and disability services. What we're doing already. Traditionally, HDC has had a Deputy Commissioner Disability with a particular responsibility for ensuring that HDC is accessible and responsive to tangata whai kaha, disabled people, and a dedicated delegation for mental health and addiction complaints. The Deputy Commissioner Disability liaises closely with whai kaha, Ministry of Disabled People, to share information in circumstances where there is a risk to the immediate safety and well-being of disabled people and where there is an opportunity to take a timely, collaborative approach to systemic concerns within the disability sector. HDC has statutory relationships with the Director of Mental Health and Addiction and Te Hiringa Mahara, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission. The recently established Aged Care Commissioner within HDC has enhanced our focus on engagement with and responsiveness to older people who are more likely to be disabled than any other community. We've been improving our data collection to better analyse and report on tangata whai kaha, disabled people's concerns, and their experience of mainstream health services and disability support services. Because of trends we've seen in complaints, we're undertaking thematic analysis of people's experiences in disability support services and opioid substitution treatment. We're reviewing and refreshing our resources to ensure that they remain accessible, modern, and culturally appropriate. We're also listening to feedback from our experience survey to improve HDC's accessibility and responsiveness. A particular focus is on hearing from people who have a harder time making their voices heard, including people in residential services. Question 3.1. Did we cover the main issues about making the Act and the Code work better for tangata whai kaha disabled people? Legislative suggestions for change. We're seeking feedback on the following suggestions for the Act and the Code to work better for tangata whai kaha disabled people. We are also seeking feedback on HDC's draft 2019 recommendations relating to unconsented research. A. Strengthen disability functions within the Act. Currently, the Act 1. Includes an understanding of the various needs of disability services consumers as a qualification of appointment to the role of commissioner, and 2. Requires that the commissioner establish and maintain links with representatives of disability services consumers. Adding a legislated role focused on disability issues could strengthen oversight of complaints from a disability perspective, enhance HDC's focus on the rights of tangata whai kaha disabled people, and support trust in and engagement with HDC. In addition, HDC's ministerial reporting is only to the Minister of Health. Adding a requirement to also report to the Minister for Disability Issues could strengthen HDC's ability to promote and protect the rights of tangata whai kaha disabled people using health and disability services. B. Update definitions relating to disability. The definitions of disability services and disability services provider in the Act are broad and cover a range of services that enable tangata whai kaha disabled people to live good lives. Disability services include whānau as carers where there is an employer / employee or contractual relationship for services. While these definitions do not cause problems for HDC to apply, we've been told that the language in them reflects outdated concepts of disability. Modern concepts of disability recognise that disability is something that happens when people with impairments face barriers in society. It is society that disables us, not our impairments. Note 10. Ministry of Social Development, New Zealand Disability Strategy 2016-2026, Wellington, Ministry of Social Development, 2016, page 12. Current definitions in the Act relating to disability are set out below. 1. Disability services includes goods, services and facilities. A. Provided to people with disabilities for their care or support or to promote their independence. Or B. Provided for purposes related or incidental to the care or support of people with disabilities or the promotion of independence of such people. 2. Disability services provider means any person who provides or holds himself or herself or itself out as providing disability services. 3. Disability services consumer means any person with a disability that A. Reduces that person's ability to function independently, and B. means that the person is likely to need support for an indefinite period. We want to hear from you how the Act's definitions relating to disability could be changed to be strengths-based, affirming and aligned with the CRPD. C. Strengthen references to accessibility. The CRPD sets expectations that tangata whai kaha disabled people can access services on an equal basis as others. Currently, the code provides for accessibility in several ways. 1. Effective communication, right 5, number 1, gives people the right to effectively communicate in a form, language and manner that enables the consumer to understand the information provided. Where necessary and reasonably practicable, this includes the right to a competent interpreter. Right 5, number 2, gives the right to an environment that enables communication to happen openly, honestly and effectively. 2. Appropriate standard of service provision. Right 4, number 3, gives people the right to have services provided in a manner consistent with his or her needs. 3. Cultural safety. Right 1, number 3, gives people the right to be provided with services that take into account the needs, values and beliefs of different groups. 4. Freedom from discrimination. Right 2 gives the right to freedom from discrimination as defined in the Human Rights Act 1993, which includes disability as a prohibited ground for discrimination. 5. Dignity and independence. Right 3 gives the right to have services provided in a manner that respects the dignity and independence of the individual. And 6. Support. Right 8 gives people the right to one or more support people of their choice to be present, except where it may compromise safety or unreasonably undermine another consumer's rights. We propose changes to the code to explicitly reference accessibility in Right 5, effective communication, and in Right 10, right to complain, to strengthen the right to accessible services in the code. We also propose removing the words "and reasonably practicable" in Right 5 in relation to the right to a competent interpreter. Clause 3, provider compliance, of the code already recognises that where a provider has taken reasonable actions in the circumstances to meet rights under the code, then a provider is not in breach. Resource constraints can be considered. The additional limitation of "and reasonably practicable" in Right 5 regarding interpreters is redundant and risks being interpreted by providers as a lesser obligation than other rights. D. Strengthen and clarify the right to support to make decisions. Being able to make the same legal decisions as everyone else and have choice and control over their lives is a cornerstone of human rights and the CRPD. Where tangata whaikaha, a disabled person cannot make an independent decision, a support decision-making process should be used. The code currently implies that a person should be supported to make decisions about their care to their fullest decision-making ability. Right 7, informed choice and consent, includes a starting point that every person is presumed to be able to make decisions about their care. Right 7, number 2. That right is retained to the extent of that person's decision-making ability, Right 7, number 3, and that even where a person is not able to make decisions, services must be provided consistently with that person's views where they can be known, Right 7, number 4, including through the use of advanced directives, Right 7, number 5. We acknowledge that supported decision-making is a developing practice, and good practice guidance, education, and resourcing would support providers to put this right into practice alongside strengthened wording in the code. We propose changes to 1. Strengthen Right 5, effective communication in the code to explicitly reference the right for people to have support to understand information. 2. Update the language in Right 7, informed choice and consent, relating to competence and incompetence to decision-making capacity and affected decision-making in line with the approach of the Law Commission's review of adult decision-making capacity law. 3. Strengthen Right 7, number 3, to reference the right to receive support to make decisions. 4. Update the language in Right 7, number 4, from consumers' views to will and preferences in alignment with the language of the CRPD. And 5. Strengthen Right 7, number 4, in brackets C, in brackets Roman numerals 2, to ensure that the will and preferences of consumers who will never have legal decision-making capacity are taken into account. E. Progress consideration of HDC's draft recommendations relating to unconsented research. Currently, health and disability research involving adults unable to consent must, among other things, be in that person's best interests as required by Right 7, number 4 of the Code. While this is an important safeguard for vulnerable people, there is a view that it is an unworkable test because, prior to the outcome of research being known, it is impossible to determine whether it is in a person's best interests. The best interests test also creates barriers to potentially valuable low-risk research, with the result that some groups of people could be missing out on improvements and progress in health and disability service care. In 2019, following public consultation, including 154 submissions on a discussion document, HDC made draft recommendations to the then Minister of Health to change the rules for health and disability research involving adult participants who are unable to provide informed consent. The 2019 review concluded that some health and disability research that is not currently permitted should be allowed in order to build greater knowledge of certain conditions and to improve treatment and services for groups affected by those conditions. However, this should be applied only in limited circumstances with very robust safeguards in place, including that 1. The best interests test in Right 7, number 4 of the code be confined to the provision of treatment and services, and a different test be applied to research of no more than minimal foreseeable risk and no more than minimal foreseeable burden. 2. Suitable persons interested in the welfare of the person be able to veto their participation in the research. And 3. Specialist ethics committees would oversee such research. Following the 2019 review, the National Ethics Advisory Committee, NEAC, has implemented all but one of the recommendations directed towards it to strengthen specialist ethics committee oversight for research where a person is unable to consent. The outstanding recommendation relates to defining minimal foreseeable risk and minimal foreseeable burden. The NEAC standards currently define minimal risk as research in which the probability and magnitude of harms in research are not greater than the probability and magnitude of harms ordinarily encountered in daily life or during the performance of routine physical or psychological examinations or tests. What we've heard so far, as a generalisation, is that people with a research interest have tended to either be supportive of the recommendations or concerned that they do not allow for enough research to proceed. Tangata Whaikaha, disabled people, and whānau have tended to be cautious of any proposed increase in the threshold for unconsented research and of the ability of specialist ethics committees to consider disability interests adequately. We note that HDC's recommendations did not include a requirement for representation of people with lived experience of disability on the specialist ethics committees. We would like to know what you think of the HDC's 2019 recommendations regarding unconsented research and any suggestions you may have for improvement. You can read the full 2019 report at https://tinyurl.com/unconsented-research. Questions 3.2. What do you think of our suggestions for making the Act and the Code work better for Tangata Whaikaha disabled people, and what impact could they have? 3.3. What other changes, both legislative and non-legislative, should we consider for making the Act and the Code work better for Tangata Whaikaha disabled people?